I'd like to remind you, you're listening to KGRB, AM Radio 90, 900, West Covina, serving the San Gabriel Valley and the greater Los Angeles area. Time now is 7:30, time for Inside Track with Steve Arthur.
Everybody, we start week two here at Hollywood Park in the Fall-Autumn Festival. We hope that you had a pretty good time out there last week. We'll kind of go over that. Take your telephone call, see what you have to say about that at 310-379-5437. That's our number here at Inside Track. And ready to do battle. We will, of course, have our Thanksgiving show tomorrow. And we know that Bruce always sings on that day, and I'm sure you're preparing something for us, aren't you, Bruce?
Oh, yeah. No doubt about it. We'll have our turkey awards for the year, too.
Have our turkey awards. They come up tomorrow. And Gordon's spending the holidays up in Northern California. Gordon, good morning to you. How's the weather up there?
Steve, the weather up here does not remind me of our Caribbean cruise, actually our Mexican Riviera cruise. And you know, as I stand up here looking at clear but cool blue skies around Bay Meadows, getting ready to give a report on how the simulcasting is coming up here in the Bay Area, I see three Hollywood races on the docket today, zero down south because of the purse structure. But you know, Steve, in my mind's eye, I can still see two signs down at Cabo San Lucas that I thought maybe we should talk about on today's program. Maybe somebody knows what they mean. You remember that sign we saw at one store which said, "Sorry, we're open"?
Yeah, we did.
And then how about the other sign, "Senior Sushi, we serve everything but sushi"?
Yeah, that was in Cabo San. That would have been one of your favorite places, Bruce, Senior Sushi.
I love sushi.
And the Giggling Marlin. This is another one in Cabo San Lucas. I don't know if you folks have ever been there, but, of course, that's the big sailfish capital of the world. And they have a thing called the Giggling Marlin, a place like that. And you go in there, and you actually pay to have them string you up like a marlin by your feet and hang you and take a picture of you and pour a drink down you at the time. And we were there, I guess, where did we pull in that morning? 8 o'clock in the morning. There are people over there at 8 o'clock in the morning, swigging down tequila, hanging upside down like marlins. You know, no wonder they call us ugly Americans when we get down there. It's unbelievable. But we had a good time. All right, Bruce, let me see. I'll throw a couple at you. Oh, you have a trivia question. Throw that one out for us.
The LA Times trivia. The answer, well, I should do it like a Jeopardy question, but I won't.
Hey, just a minute. I got to get the Jeopardy music. It's right here. Can you hold a second?
Yes. Always ready with the tapes.
Yeah, always ready there. Let's see if I can get it here. Yeah, now it's got to re-cue. Was that a stupid idea?
Well, why don't I just give the question? The answer is zero.
Okay. And the question is?
How many thoroughbred horse racing features articles in today's edition of the LA Times? Next answer. The next answer is two.
Oh, I got the Jeopardy music. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The answer is two. Go ahead.
I like that. Okay, Alex. I'm ready.
The answer is two. I don't know that one. Go ahead, Bruce.
The number of fishing articles in today's edition of LA Times. I really love those fishing articles. I don't know about you guys.
I don't know, being on that cruise, we kind of got into a little bit of that fishing. What do you guys think about the first week? How did the racetrack play for you? I thought it was pretty consistent, and I think that's one of the reasons that we're all kind of pro-Hollywood Park when we come back here every year. We always seem to do well because it doesn't matter how it is as long as it's consistent to me. Gordon?
Well, you know, the name Steve Wood is always cropping up in conversations over at Santa Anita because, oh, he's finally got it tight. Oh, we wish he'd tighten it up. It's a little too cuffy. It's killing off the speed. What's the plot today? He's always in the news because you'd never know what he's doing. You have to be Sherlock Holmes to track him down and what he is doing. Over here, it's kind of like a mathematical given. You get up at midnight, the Hollywood Park is right. You get up in the middle of the day, it's right. On Monday, it's fine. On Saturday, it's fine. It's consistent. And, Bruce, that makes a big difference to me.
It is consistent as far as running, you know, the way the horses run, front runners or, you know, speed type, I mean, off the pace types. However, you have to admit, now, the first 3 days of racing, the track was very average, I would say. And Saturday and Sunday, it became lightning fast. So if you have to almost, you have to do track variants here. You have to pay attention to on a daily basis, because I had the track quickening about an average of 6 lengths from the weekday races to over to the weekend races. So, yeah, I think there was, I like the way the track's playing, but Gordon, that track really became lightning quick over the weekend.
It did, Bruce, but when you zero in on a day like Saturday where it was playing 6 and maybe sometimes even more lengths faster, you get that rating on that day, you put it away in the archives, you draw back when those horses come back, and once again, there's consistency on that day. It's not a split variant. They're not bouncing around with different numbers. And once again, the horses are pretty much running their races. Most everybody has a chance to win. And so it did speed up over the weekend, but you just file that away and you use it.
Yeah, well, one of the consistent things about this racetrack, and it's gone back 7 or 8 years, I've done so well playing it, and the sprint races, outside post positions have done so well. What's the record for the first week, Bruce?
Well, it's not only have the outside done well, but the inside have done horribly. How about the inside three posts? 1, 2, and 3, 22 races, only 2 wins thus far from those three post draws. So,
one of the elephants there.
Gordon, it just never changes here at Hollywood Park, I guess.
No, and once again, you know, Bruce, you start handicapping that way. You put a horse down on the rail. I have a formula that tells me to the nearest half length what it's basically going to cost the median horse, and I just incorporate that with my figures, just as if the horse improved 2 or 3 lengths, or just as if the horse lost 2 or 3 lengths. And I do the same thing on weight. I mean, if a horse is carrying 110, and suddenly carries 120, I have to go back and handicap every back race as if he carried today's weight. I mean, these are some of the verities that make sense in handicapping. And at Hollywood, you just shovel those things in after you make the proper adjustment. And it really, really, well, no wonder we're unbeaten at this meeting, Bruce. It's so much more consistent for me than Del Mar, which is a tough meet.
Let me ask you guys, I was looking at the Los Angeles Times this morning. Can, you know, and sometimes we talk about, can anybody beat Kent DeSarmo when he has a big lead, or Bobby Frankel when he has a big lead in the training title for money? Can anybody beat Curtis Cran on this meet? I've just taken a look at this morning. Curtis Cran has $161 in the bank so far, and his nearest competitor is actually Consensus with $111. The nearest live competitor there is Bob Mazursky with $100. He's $61 ahead of the field. Pretty good lead.
I think you set an all-time record on Sunday.
Yeah?
3 winners.
Oh, gosh, Bruce. Yeah, I got to do it. That was for you.
All right, 2 winners.
Hey, did you guys see the horse I kind of liked on Sunday? The half-brother to Flying Paster came back and won. You know, it got me thinking, how old is the mare and Flying Paster if this horse is a half-brother?
Flying Paster, I believe, would be about 18 years old right now if he were still alive. And Argolid out of the Dave Hoffman's barn, a broke maiden by 4 lengths, very good time, even though it was a fast track and 109 flat, and that does bring up a good point. Procne, who was the dam of Flying Paster, is she still alive today, or how old was she when she produced this horse? Unbelievable that you still see anything related to Flying Paster, a half-brother or a full-brother or sister, still racing, but I guess that bloodline is still very strong. This horse looked good winning, and for a two-year-old, I guess it was a cowbred. That was a very good time, even though it was an exceptionally fast track.
Yeah. Well, guys, I've got to talk about Gold Digger's Dream. We've talked so much about this horse on the air, one of the all-time hangers. I believe it had something like 8 seconds. Maybe, Bruce, you had that in front of you, or Gordon. Something like 8 seconds. It went in the Cal Cup and earned that big purse money for running third, and it had won over $100,000 and was still a maiden. Last time out, it got the job done and broke its maiden. Still eligible for non-winners of a race. Went in the Las Barrera Stakes and Las Barrera Handicap on Sunday and eked out a win by a neck. Tried to hang down the lane, but DeSormo got it over there for $15.80. I was totaling this up. This horse has made something like $170,000, and most of it's from running second. Now has 2 wins and eligible for non-winners of 2 races.
And I guess he's Goldinger's dream. I keep saying on my lines, this is one of my favorite horses in the country, because Goldinger's dream was the highest rated maiden that I had spotted for a long, long time. And you know that I like the horse for second, behind Best Pal in the Cal Cup Classic when it went off at 13.5-1. And only that suicide duel, I think it was Bossa Nova, stupidly went out with this horse, and they dueled through these ridiculous sprint fractions, and unfortunately, Goldinger's Dream had to back up to third. Nady Boundary got up and beat Goldinger's Dream that way. Never should have, except for the assist with a suicide pace. Well, needless to say, liking the did have to go back to the horse the next two times. That doesn't mean I picked the horse to win out there on Sunday. I have DeHalivant on second, Goldinger's Dream second, but it sure gets you some very nice exactas when you spot a horse like Goldinger's Dream, who is a total scrapper and fighter.
I'll tell you, you know, we're talking about claiming a horse. There's the kind of horse you'd love to have and love to own. I don't know if people would be too excited that you don't have many wins out of it, but who knows? Maybe this horse will turn around and be kind of a win machine. You know, I was looking at horses today, possible claims, and the seventh race. Bruce, turn over to page 12 and 13 and check this out with me, because maybe there's a possibility here. Moscow MD, Dr. Hyde was running down there, I think, for $16,000. In fact, $10,000 if you go back to the Hollywood meet last fall. Scary's in there. There's a horse that's earned $90,000 this year with only a couple of wins. Perfect Prankster, some pretty nice horses. But Record Boom, here's a horse coming off a layoff for Mike Mitchell. Now, Bruce, take a look at this guy's turf record. This might be something we want to look into.
Yeah, the only problem with Record Boom on the grass, he's won 5 of 8. Oh, now I see. I guess their arithmetic wasn't correct in today's racing form. Was it 8 starts, 5 wins, 2 seconds, 3 shows?
Yeah, so this horse was on the board 10 times in 8 tries. It must have been some dead heats here. I don't know. But,
he is one game horse regardless, though. A 7-year-old, he obviously has a ton of problems. He averages about 2 starts per year that he's been born, that he's been alive, rather. He loves to win, though. What a nice horse he is. And I'll tell you something. You don't see as many versatile runners as Record Boom on the track. He can sprint on the dirt or on the turf. He can run long or short. He is just a winner. I think he could have been a great horse, Gordon, if it wasn't for the problems that he's had.
He really could. And, you know, that just shows what you're looking at, though, when you're going into claiming. You look at Record Boom and say, oh, boy, high batting average, good figures. And then you say, uh-oh. Doesn't run very many in a row, we'd probably get stuck with him because of unsoundness. Then you look at Moscow MD, couple good ones, but seated right in there, shuffled into the deck, 2 or 3 really bad ones. Then about Dr. Hyde, it makes you think of, Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, because this horse, he'd give you a couple good ones, he'd give you a couple bad ones, and you say, well, they're scary, the horse you're talking about, the Goldigger's Dream type of a horse, and yet, why is he suddenly being dropped? Why is he being sacrificed? Well, maybe the reason that horrible last race, and you just can't take a horse like that on faith. So I think if I were taking a horse out of this race, I'd take a horse who's maybe 1 or 2 lengths back of them, but he seems to run it every time, 5 times in a row. He shows more speed. That would be Perfect Prankster, and yet the Perfect Prankster doesn't have a figure that's really worth more than $32,000. So I'd say 5 close calls there, but 0 for 5.
You know, this is the rough level, isn't it, guys? When you get to the $40,000 horses, you run into the Moscow MDs, the Dr. Hydes, the Record Booms, the Scaries. I mean, there's 4 or 5 horses in this race you'd all like to have. The only problem is when you have the horse, you've got to run it against the other guys.
And on top of that,
go on.
Yeah, on top of that, Steve, there's so little difference when you get into the 25, the 32s, and the allowances. These sort of all blend together, don't they?
Yeah, it's a good point you made, Gordon. Many of these horses, or most of them, have won at least 2 allowance races. So if you're moving a horse like this up through the ranks, you have to stay in the claiming game, or else you have to run either in a stakes or a very difficult classified allowance type race. So you really can't move them up all that much, really, to be honest.
Yeah, and look at Record Boom. This horse was 3/4 of a length back to Slew the Surgeon and Soft Shoe Sure Shot in the Triple Bend Grade 3 Handicap back, in July 1992. So, these horses can compete at all levels. The reason it's competing at 32, well, obviously it has some physical problems and has to compete there at 32 on its best days. Yeah, it can run with Grade 3 horses. Last week we had the claim slip filled out twice, ready to drop, and you know, at the last minute, you know, made the decision that we would go ahead and look for something else. So the search continues. Gordon's going to be up in Northern California here for another week or so. It's going to be interesting to have the report tomorrow and the next day, you know, what that end is like looking down here at Hollywood Park, but also looking for some horses up there. Time now for scratches and changes. Warren, why don't you open up the phone lines? We'll go ahead and take some calls here. 310-379-5437. Mr. Bruce.
The track of very few changes. It's Wednesday, November 24th. Scratches and changes. In the first race, the morning line favorite, number 4, Perky Wonder at 7-5. In the second race, first to 2, Nahuel, and the morning line favorite, number 7, 40 Mile at 5-2. In the third race, scratch number 3, Firm Pledge, Goggles On. Put Goggles On, number 1, Direct Seating. And the morning line favorite, number 7, Lucky's First One at 8-5. In the fourth race, scratch number 6, Golden L, a rider change on 3, Dawn's Bounty, make the jockey GF Almeida. And we have two horses using Lasix for the first time. Put Lasix on 7, Patrinsic, and on 8, Hail Bold Beauty. Morning line favorite, number 10, Smooth Shot at 3-1. In the fifth race, morning line favorite, number 4, The Drewer, at 7-2. In the sixth race, the morning line favorite, number 5, Linda Lou B, at 5-2. In the seventh race, the morning line favorite, actually, there are two rider changes on the seventh race, in the seventh race, that is. On number 6, Pay, make the jockey Aaron Grider, and on number 8, Betta Bick, the jockey is Corey Black. And the morning line favorite, the aforementioned number 3, Record Boom, at 3-1. In the eighth race, the morning line favorite, number 6, Ladara, at 2-1. In the ninth race, scratch the also eligible number 13, Garcia Crown, first time Lasix on 1, Heavenly Star, morning line favorite, number 2, Lord's Irish Angel, at 7-2. Please check your TV monitors and programs for any additional changes. First post, 12:30.
Oh, there's a crazy little shack beyond the track, and everybody calls it the Sugar Shack. Well, it's just a coffee house made out of wood. Espresso coffee tastes mighty good. That's not the reason why I've gotta get back up to that Sugar Shack.
Appreciate your letters and comments. If you'd like to reach us, write us at Inside Track, 1525 Aviation Boulevard, Suite A111, Redondo Beach, California, 90278. If you'd like to get it here a little quicker, why not fax it to us? That number, 213-374-8297. 213-374-8297.
I've got to get back up to that Sugar Shack. Whoa, baby, to that Sugar Shack. Yeah, honey, to that Sugar Shack. Oh, yeah, to that Sugar Shack. And now that Sugar Shack queen is a married to me, yeah. We just sit around and dream of those old memories. Ah, but one of these days I'm gonna lay down track in the direction of that Sugar Shack. Just me and her, yes, we're gonna go back up to that Sugar Shack.
All right, back on Inside Track. Speaking of Sugar Shack, we'll have the selections on for tomorrow early because of that post time on Thanksgiving Day. So we will have them on overnight, so you can call like, let's make it after midnight. How's that, guys?
I'll be ready.
All right, after midnight. I know it'll be actually earlier than that. So if you're going to the track early tomorrow, don't miss the radio show to listen to that seminar line, but we'll have it out there. And the numbers to call, by the way, are 1-900-933-3909. That's the Inside Track Seminar, $4.95 for the first minute, $2 additional, or 900-933-4561. That's the cream of the profit plays. Now, if you'd like to put this on your Visa MasterCard, we will give you that number, 310-546-1519. You can talk to our producer, Warren Rollins, and he'll be glad to take care of you over there. And you can talk to him this morning if you want to call us at 310-379-5437. 1-800-387-3737. All right, talk about, Gordon, let me ask you, since you're up north, I don't know if you've had a chance really to buckle in and see what's going on. Any Ron Hansen updates up there, anything new? Have they heard anything?
Well, it's funny. A good handicapping buddy of mine up here, Ip Ella, one of the best professionals that I know in the whole country, and a man who sat with Andy Club when Andy was up here doing his autographing session. Well, Ed was out playing tennis the other day. One of his friends and former patrons is Ron Volkman, and we all know Ron Volkman of the Black Chicks stable and other stables. Well, Ron is the man who posted $1,000 to try to find another Ron named Hansen. Ron Volkman put up $1,000 to pay an investigator to do some investigating. Finally, he ran out of money, continued to post some other. The investigator put up more time. And finally, they've kind of given up. And yesterday at the tennis matches, Ron Volkman told my friend Ed that they've just about given up because there is no new news whatsoever on the Ron Volkman case. And from other sources we learned, the two last things checked was there was a group of high rollers who were very disappointed with the return or the results of one Ron Hansen race about a week before Ron Hansen disappeared. They were checking out, and the wife of one of the officials confirmed it, that they were checking out to see if he was fleeing from them that particular night. And then the other thing, of course, is that they just think he's in hiding, possibly trying to put something together and pull something out of a hat to save his bacon. Those are the two latest thoughts up this way.
Yeah, very interesting. I wonder what's going on there. Speaking of big, well, I tell you what, speaking of jockeys, I want to stay right on that subject right now. Bruce, give us the Cole jockey report at Hollywood Park.
Yeah, surprisingly, Gary Stevens, who had one heck of a meeting across town at Oaktree, started out this week with only one winner from 29 starts. And Sal Gonzalez, another one that had a very good meeting over at Oaktree, is 0 for his first 23. A bit surprising. Stevens will definitely pick it up. Gonzalez, a little bit inconsistent. I know, Gordon, you were down on him somewhat at Del Mar. He seemed to pick it back up once again at Oaktree. Seems like he's having a little trouble at the gate these days.
And, you know, the book on him is that you don't keep the bug forever and what's around the corner. And we know outside of the Corey Nakatanis, Pat Valenzuelas, and a few others, very few apprentices, even hot apprentices, really make the top 10 around here. And talking with Bob Mazursky of the Los Angeles Times about that very thing last weekend, Bob says, I have never been as high on this young rider as a lot of the guys we've seen. It's going to be tough sledding when the 5 pounds goes bye-bye.
I was just thinking, fellas, a way that we can make some money. You know, we're talking about these consistent horses like Record Boom. Well, he doesn't have probably many races each year, but he always runs you a hard race. I mean, he's always right there no matter what. And it, look, any distance, he wins it to 5.5 furlongs. He wins it a mile and a 16th, really a mile and a quarter. It doesn't matter what it is. Maybe we could run over to Mike Mitchell's barn this morning, make him an offer before the race, $32,000. Mike, we'll give you $40,000 right now, or $45,000. And Bruce, we'll get this horse on a plane, and we'll send it over to Tokyo, and we'll get in the Japan Cup this weekend. You see what the money is down the way on this race? Even if we run 7th or 8th, I think this horse could run 4th or 5th.
Yeah, all you have to do is participate in the Japan Cup. Yeah. I was reading the article. The 8th place finisher in the Japan Cup earned $72,000. The 9th through 14th place finisher, how about $48,000? So if you just get into that race, you're going to make a little, some kind of money out of it.
And Bruce, any horse that's hit the board 10 times and only 8 tries, he's got to do well.
Sure. Just get him through quarantine in time, Steve. Do we have enough time?
I don't know. Just an idea. I hope nobody else picks up on that. But, Gordon, can you imagine $82,000 for finishing down the board that far?
Talk about the new thoughts in racing of just getting paid for participating. That could be something.
Wow.
And meantime, you know, we should probably not let it pass. The trainer, Randy Winnick, is thinking of putting another very good horse with a record of almost 10 for 8. That's the perfect 3-for-3 horse, Bronco, into the $500,000 Holly Futurity. And my point in bringing this up is not to re-announce what's in the racing form today. I would like to pose this question. If Bronco goes a perfect 4-for-4 and enters that race and wins it in devastating fashion again, the way he did, and just slaughtering De Hare and all the 3-year-old classmates in a race that was double the margin of any other race on Breeders' Cup Day, if Bronco would go a perfect 4-for-4, in a year where there's a great debate, does Bertrando get Horse of the Year because of his mixed races? does Cotashan, who was, you know, won and lost, does Lur, who split all those races at Star of Cozine, maybe even does Star of Cozine, with all those horses sort of battling around and none of them being the second coming of Round Table or Spectacular Bid, could you make a solid case that the horse of the year, best in division and best, you know, pound for pound, as they used to say in boxing, could you make a case that Bracco's horse of the year?
I honestly couldn't do it because for a couple of reasons. This would only be his second stake start of the year, Gordon. He started his racing career in October, and he was definitely the most spectacular horse this season. But I don't know, only four races and only two stakes races. Let's turn it around, though, Gordon. Let me ask you this. What if Bracco were to lose this Hollywood Futurity? Let's just say it could happen, obviously. Would then De Hare be possibly the two-year-old champion?
It's a possibility because we had the crazy situation last weekend where Florida State in football beat a good North Carolina State 62-3 and got passed in the polls by Nebraska. Now, it could be that crazy, Bruce.
It's interesting. You know, I was looking, the other day we were talking about the Hollywood Futurity. That will be a $500,000 gross purse. The first one was Valley Time back in 1983, Stephens Odyssey, Snow Chief. Bruce, you know who the last person to get that $1 million paycheck was? Happened in 1990.
Was it? I'm not sure.
Best Pal.
That's right.
Best Pal. He got that big $1 million payday. Now it's down to $500,000, but nothing wrong with that. And as I said, the Bracco people looking forward to running in that. Hey, Gordon, do you remember the jockey used to be called the King of the Bull Rings out there? Freddie Miller seemed to have all those records for years out at Pomona.
Sort of the forerunner of...
I got word this morning that he passed away the other day, playing cards with a bunch of buddies and a bunch of friends and playing a little game of poker, and the old heart stopped, called the paramedics, and unfortunately that was the end of it. I just wonder, I don't know if a lot of people are familiar with him, but he was just one of those guys that you look in the programs and stuff, and he seemed to have all the records out at Pomona. I tell you, Pomona's had a bad couple of weeks, and I'm calling it Pomona because that's exactly what Freddie Miller was riding. It was called Pomona with Mr. Pretty the other day, and Freddie Miller just the last couple of days. Anyway, I thought I'd throw that in there for you. What else do we have here to talk about? Botrando, by the way, the bone chip. Did you guys read the article on that? I guess Botrando had a bone chip removed.
Very fast operation, wasn't it?
Yeah, he'll be out for a bit, I guess. I guess he'll probably miss about the first at least half of next year. He'll be back racing once again, but he had a bone chip removed from his knee. Nothing serious, and we won't see him for a little while.
Okay, a couple people on the comeback trail. River Special preps for comeback. He's been idle since suffering a leg injury last winter. Jockey Kent DeSormo on the saddle the other morning was caught in 57 flat on the official work tab. Next best clocking for that distance was 58-3. That went to the old gray horse, Regal Groom. So it looks like Golden Eagle Farms River Special is ready to come back. 57 flat. Boy, maybe it was the day the workouts the races were so fast, but that's very, very fast, fellas. He was a pretty good horse, wasn't he?
Very talented horse. He had a little bit of a breathing problem, as I recall, for Bob Hess, and they were very careful. He ran, They ran third in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last season, and he looked like he was going to be one of the top three-year-olds. In fact, I think he won that Hollywood Futurity quite easily last season, and Bob Hess is a very patient trainer. He's brought this horse along slowly, and let's face it, the older horse division isn't very strong right now. Come Santa Anita, this could turn out to be a very important horse.
One of the things that I have been bitching about for a while is the bet cards and using the bet cards. Now, it's not that I don't want... I'm okay with that. I like the bet cards, and you can keep your money in a voucher. You don't have people bothering you or bugging you. But one of my problems is you sit there and you're standing in a line, and the guy in front of you is doing a pick nine, and he's turning his racing form page by page, and you want to grab him and kill him. Anyway, Hollywood Park... we'll have some card-only machines throughout the plant, beginning this week, I understand. Probably not in the Turf Club yet, and that's one of the places they probably need them, but they will have some of these card-only machines. I've been using the card machines for quite a while now, and I'm pretty happy with it. And another thing, if you make a mistake, you have no one to blame but yourself, which kind of hurts when you go back and say, oh my God, why did I mark that thing wrong? Gordon, how are you doing with the cards? I see you using them quite a bit now.
You know what I'd just like to request, Steve, because I was sort of victimized by this a couple times there. I think the final day at Santa Anita, there was a darn good turnout. And in some areas, maybe there weren't quite enough clerks because the fans really turned out for that special Monday. So I went down at my usual time to put in a bet, and lo and behold, the lines were too long. So I darted to another area, same story, finally another area, and somewhere, I guess, up on the mezzanine, I suddenly saw some windows, and I went dashing up to put in my, I think it was a triple, mm-hmm. and the machine wouldn't take it. Finally, I backed off, looked up. There was the sign saying it was Steve Arthur's window. It was one for those already made-out cards to step up, and so I would have this suggestion. Make those windows that are special windows of that sort, make a different colored sign or a sign that's really easy to read so it doesn't just blend into the woodwork, because I was snafu'd, and I think there's a little education needed there.
Yeah. Yeah, I know what you're meaning, what you're saying. Yeah, you need to make people aware that that is there and, take advantage of that. But it's good on both sides. I'm glad we have some of those coming. All right, let me give you the numbers again. Don't miss tomorrow's show. Remember that Thanksgiving show is always a turkey, so don't miss it and enjoy the turkey with us. 900-933-3909, that's the seminar number. Or the cream of the profit plays, it's 900-933-4561. You have a good day. We came off with a darn good week last week, and we look forward to week number two. See you at the races. Bye-bye.
This is KGRB AM Radio 90, West Covina. Time for the 8 o'clock edition of the news from ABC.